your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to Isaiah 38. We will look at 2 Kings later, but Isaiah chapter 38. What a blessing. What a blessing to have Esther sing this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God. Isaiah 38, verse 1. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him. He gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. You will not recover from this illness. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you. I have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. Then this message came to Isaiah from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah and tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you from this city and the king of Assyria. Yes, I will defend this city. And this is the sign that the Lord, from the Lord, to prove that he will do as he promised. I will cause the sun's shadow to move 10 steps backward on the sundial of Ahaz. So the shadow on the sundial moved backward 10 steps. And then I want to jump to verse 21. Isaiah had said to Hezekiah's servants, make an ointment from figs and spread it over the boil, and Hezekiah will recover. And that he did. You may sit down, and may God add a blessing to his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing story of Hezekiah and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the worship today. It's been all just absolutely awesome. Thank you for little Esther and the blessing of having her sing King of Kings. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, honor your word. We know that you will. And Father, may somebody be willing to surrender all to Christ today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You've been watching the fires in California, Palisades fire. Couple said that they sat down to eat at their table and they saw that their neighbor's house was on fire. And so they jump up and they had to run for their lives. Then a mom said to her son, let's get in the car and let's get out of here because the fire was coming so fast. And so they took off to be safe from the fire. But after a little few moments, the lady realized that the fire was right in front of her as well. And they turned around and they went another way. And she said, we knew that if we stayed home, we could die. And we knew that if we kept going forward, we could die. And so it was a matter of life and death for them. They ran for their lives. 2025, y'all, as we begin this new year, is a matter of life and death. The only two choices we have. We're going to either live the best way we know how in this year, or we got to get ready for when death knocks at our door. We love living. We don't like the thought of dying. I think God ingrained into all of his creation to avoid death. That's why we see animals, for example, run for their lives when they're being threatened. That's why we see them show their teeth or their fangs. They will fight back because nobody wants, not even bugs want to die. Nobody likes to die. We are the only ones in God's creation that not only don't want to die, but we think about death. And we think so that we shouldn't about death. We think about burials, and we think about decay, and we think about how bad it's going to be for those left behind, and it's absolutely, absolutely depressing. For your notes, if you like to take notes while I preach, they have been provided for you in the programs. I want you to write down in your first blank the word unavoidable, because death is unavoidable. Death is unavoidable. When you go to the DMV to do something with your license to replace it, they are going to ask you about being an organ donor. They never say, if you die, would you like to donate your organs? They always say, when you die, are you going to, you know, give your organs away to others? It's unavoidable. I'm doing two funerals, like I shared with you earlier this week, one for a 90-year-old and one for a 19-year-old. Death doesn't seem to care about gender. Death doesn't care about age. It just, it's going to happen. The Bible says this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. Everyone must die once, and after that be judged by God. And so for your notes, I want you to write this down, because we all have an appointment to meet God one day. You have an appointment to meet God. I have an appointment to meet God. We're used to appointments. You know what I mean? You're used to an appointment with the doctor, an appointment with the mechanic, an appointment with the lady that does the fingernails for Imani. I even see some men sometimes get a pedi, and to me, that's questionable, okay? As I see men getting a pedi over there, I'm like, what? What's up? Where's your man card? Sorry about that. Sorry about that for you guys who love the pedis. Write this down. My future son-in-law, he's just loud as all get. Here we go. Write this down on your notes, a blank, please. We don't like to talk about death much, maybe because of the unknown. We know that Jesus Christ, he lived a perfect life. He was brutally murdered. He suffered on the cross, was crucified, was beaten. He was buried, and he conquered death. Praise the Lord. And he came back in a better form than he was before. He came back glorified. And because of him, because of Jesus Christ and our faith in him, right, we have hope of heaven and certainty that it doesn't end when we stop down here. It's just the beginning of a new life when we get up there, right? And so we know, because Jesus came back from the dead, that when we die, that death is just the beginning of a new life. Death is one of those necessary evils that we need to go through to get to heaven, unless Jesus returns first, which I believe is going to happen. I believe I'm not going to see death. I'm going to be lifted up and meet Jesus in the air one day. Okay, so we know all that certainty. In fact, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, to be away from this body is to be at home with the Lord. We're confident about all of that. But I think the problem is the mystery of death scares us. It's an experience we've never been through. And we don't know the uncertainty of it all. We're just afraid of it. A lot of people are. Even cemeteries, people are afraid of cemeteries, although everyone's dead there. I'm sure you've heard the story. I think I've told it a couple of times, of the guy who was late at night and he had to go through a cemetery to get home. It was the quickest way. So he just ran as hard as he could, as fast as he could through the cemetery, not knowing that they had dug a fleshly dug grave for a funeral the next morning. And so the guy's running as hard as he can, and he falls right into that deep hole. I'm telling you, he jumped, he clawed, he tried to climb out of there, but to no avail. He was exhausted, and he sat on a corner, in the dark corner of that hole, and waited till daylight, until somebody would come and get him out of there. That same night, there was a young, terrified man who knew he had to run through the cemetery as well. So he takes off as fast as he can, not knowing that there was a hole that had been dug, and he falls right in the same hole where the guy is sitting on the corner, in the dark corner of that hole. And the young man, he just jumped and tried to climb out of there and dig his way out, but he couldn't. There's no way out of there, until he heard a voice from the dark corner who said, buddy, you might as well relax. There's no way out of there. But he got out then. We're afraid, we're scared because of the unknown. For your notes, write this down. We don't like to talk about death, maybe also because we are too attached to the here and now. We're too attached to what we love and what we know. We love our families. We love our homes. We love our pets. We love our dreams. We have bucket lists. You have a bucket list, anybody here? We have bucket lists. I follow a guy that took us to Israel, led us in Israel. He was in Portugal, I guess, this last week, and he's eating something righteously, amazingly good. And boy, I tell you, I wrote him back in Facebook, or I made a comment. You know, my family or my roots are from Portugal. I have it in my bucket list to get to Portugal one day. That's just a bucket list. Love that. I love looking forward to what's coming, right? We love living. We love life. And we know that Jesus said, hey, listen, you are going to be with me in paradise, and we can't wait to get to heaven. But listen, we love life on earth, and even though it's difficult sometimes, and even though it's depressing, we don't want to leave. We want to stay. And what we're talking about today, from the story of Hezekiah we read, is in 2025, just living to the best of our ability, and at the same time being ready for when death knocks at our door. Everybody with me on where we're going? Everybody with me on where we're going? So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we live the best way we can? And how do we get ready for death? We get some insights from the story of Hezekiah that we read. So let's just break it down. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him. He gave to the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you're going to die, and you will not recover from this illness. And when I read that, I thought, how insensitive of a prophet. How tactless can you be? Yeah, he goes to the king and says, hey, you're about to die. It's like, reminded me of the story of the lady who was out on a business trip away from home, and she calls her husband, and they're talking in the conversation. She says, hey, how's the puppy? And he says, he's dead. She's like, what? And then she got angry at her husband. I said, you gotta be kidding me. How can you be so insensitive and no compassion at all? Would you, next time something bad happens, would you be more compassionate and give me a little story before you tell me the end of the story? And so she says, maybe you should have said the dog got out and somehow he climbed the tree that's next to the house, and he was confused. He didn't know where he was. He was on the roof of the house, and he slipped and he fell and he died. She said, maybe if you would have said it that way, I wouldn't be so angry at you. You gotta think. And the husband said, oh, I'm sorry. I realized how wrong I was in the way I said it. He said, I'm not going to do that again. And she was like, you gotta be kidding. You're unbelievable. And so she says, how's mom? And he said, she's on the roof of the house. So the prophet, oh, that's good. I'm cracking up in my office when I'm writing this. I just want to let you know, this is the way I am, just cracking up like crazy. So I said, the prophet goes to the king and says, listen, you're going to die. Get your affairs in order. For us in the 21st century, getting our affairs in order, we think about wills. We think about living will. We think about funeral arrangements so our family is not burdened with something or another, right? We think about a trust to live so our families know exactly who's getting what or how everything is divided, all right? And our affairs, setting our affairs in order also has to do with people. Staying good with people and keeping our loved ones close. And I think keeping our affairs in order has to do with being at peace with those we love, right? Being at peace with them and staying in touch and caring and saying I love you often. Because you never know when somebody's going to say, set your affairs today is the day you're out. You want to say I love you a lot so you don't get caught missing somebody who's gone and you didn't get to say I love you. Those are the affairs, but I think also, for your notes, write this down. There are also spiritual affairs. So the question is, are your spiritual affairs in order? There are physical affairs, but then there's also spiritual affairs. And listen, the question is, when you die, are you going to go to heaven? That's the bottom line question. When you die, are you going to go to heaven? And that's a question that I had to ask myself too several years ago. When I die, am I going to go to heaven? So for first order of business for your notes is this, salvation of your soul. 2025, this is the first order of business. You're watching me on Facebook right now. First order of business, 2025, the salvation of your soul. Because you know what? Eternity is a very long time to end up in the wrong place. Eternity is a very long time to end up in the wrong place. You want to be at the right place. And the Bible says there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun for sure. So the question is, are you ready to face eternity? So we go to verse 2. So Isaiah says to Hezekiah, you're going to die tonight, verse 2. When Hezekiah heard this, this is very, the imagery of the Bible sometimes is just insanely good, and I can picture this. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, looking at the wall. Verse 3, remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. We read in scripture, which we have studied Hezekiah for the last couple of weeks, he was a faithful man of God. This was a good man, Hezekiah. And he's told that he's going to die that day or that quickly. And he just turns to the wall, facing the wall as if he was on time out. And he begins to pray to God. But then he breaks down. Something you may not know about Hezekiah at this time. He was only 39 years old. That's found in the book of 2 Kings chapter 21 verses 1 and 2. Here's a 39-year-old. He's got a whole bunch of life left in him. And the prophet of God says, you're about to die. No wonder he broke down. I've seen middle-aged people facing death. You know what they say? I wanted to see my kids grow up. That's what they say. I wanted to see my kids get married. I've seen them cry. I wanted to be able to hold my grandbabies. And now, all that is taken from me. They say, I wanted to retire. Heart crushing. When Hezekiah hears these words, he is broken. Verse 4. Then this message came to Isaiah from the Lord. So Isaiah says what he says to the king. The king faces the wall. He begins to talk to God. Hey, I've been a good man. And even though the Bible doesn't tell us that Hezekiah is asking for more time, he is asking for more time. He's just telling God, what's going on here? I've been a good man. And Isaiah leaves him. See, one thing about prophets in the Old Testament is like, they didn't have a big heart. You know what I mean? It's like, you're going to die. Gone. But on the way out, before he left the palace perimeter, God speaks to the prophet. See, God is all tender mercy. That's God. The prophet may have been hard as stone, but not God. Because God is love. That's what the Bible says. And so as the prophet of God is walking out, God speaks to his prophet and says, verse 5, go back to Hezekiah and tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestors, David, said. I have heard your prayers, praise God, and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. For your notes, this came to my mind. God knows. Write that down, please. God knows what you're going through. God knows. Two thoughts came to my mind when I read that scripture, verses 4 and 5. I want you to think about this. Oh, no, two thoughts, just a few thoughts. When you laugh, Jesus laughs with you. Because he is that close. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am always with you, even to the very end of the age. When you cry, he cries with you. When you laugh, he laughs with you. And when you start talking to him, even in the most silent whisper, he hears everything you say, every word. When you're brokenhearted, God knows it, because the Bible says God knows your heart. When you're losing sleep at night, God is watching you and trying to rock you back to sleep. You go back to him. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, could be 3 o'clock in the morning. And I feel like God is, I feel like there are thoughts in my mind about where I have failed, where I have not, you know, gotten to where I should be, or might be in a pastor of a church, and all my failures. And I can't go back to sleep. And I begin to ask God to help me go back to sleep, because I know God is standing right by my side, right by my bed. And I begin to remember Bible verses that I have memorized years ago. And before I know it, I'm back to sleep. When you can't sleep, God's watching over you. And when you're crying, God is there. Jesus is there. There's a song in the Christian radio that I cry every single time I hear it. Silly. I'm like, dude, put yourself together. What's going on? I wonder if when we get old, we just soften up. You know what I'm saying? I think. Maybe when we grow up, we soften up. I hear the song and I start crying. I bawl in the car. I'm just telling you, I'm not like, ooh. I'm like, ah! Maybe not that ugly, but I like expressions. Right? It's a song that is sung by Dolly Parton. I'm not in the Christian radio. Dolly Parton and some guy by the name of Zach Williams, and the song is called "There Was Jesus." And when I hear that song, I don't know why, I think of the difficult times that I've gone through in my life, where I've been broken down. And for some reason, I remember that Jesus was there. There was Jesus when I was broken. And so this man is broken. His eyes are broken because he knows he's going to die. And the prophet, he's gone. But God is broken over his man being broken. And he sends Isaiah back and says, hey, listen, blah, 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 blah. Tell him I heard your prayer. And I saw your tears, and it made me think, and this is not for you, it made me think, you know, your tears are never spilled in vain. Your tears are never shed in waste. And I know that for a fact, because the Bible is truth without error. David wrote something in Psalm 56 that just absolutely is awesome for you and me. He said, as the Philistines had captured David, he was anxious and he was hurting and he was distressed. And this is what he wrote. Psalm 56. Verse 8 and 9, you, talking to God, God, you keep track of all my sorrows. He's keeping a record. Where you at? Where you walk? Where you hurt? Where you afraid? You have collected, listen, you, God, you collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your own book. This I know. He says, God is on my side. Blessed be the name of God. Two thoughts came to my mind real quickly. Number one, your tears are precious to the Lord. Your tears are precious to the Lord. He just like puts them right there by your cheek and keeps it in his bottle. Why would God do that? But maybe he keeps it in his bottle. Never to forget your pain. Every time he looks at that bottle of your tears, he remembers your pain. That's just a thought. It's just a thought. Something to keep your engines going up here. And then a second thought came to me when I read that, and that is, God is for you. Don't forget that in 2025. God is for you. Sometimes we wonder when things don't go our way. Sometimes we wonder if God really loves us when things are going against us, right? But he does care. So let's get back to Hezekiah real quickly, and then we make it practical, and we pray, and we give, and we out of here. So God heard his cry. By the way, we read it. God said, I'm going to give you a sign that this is going to happen. You're going to live 15 more years, because how are you going to know? So God gives him a sign, and that is that the shadow goes back 10 steps instead of going forward 10, which is what the sun does. It goes forward, right? It goes backwards. And as I was reading science and people trying to explain this thing, nobody knows how this happened. Yeah? Don't try to explain it. Don't try to explain it to me. Nobody knows. But it went backwards. Okay? It's a sign. God's saying, I'm going to do what I said. So here's how I make it practical. Number one, 2025, from what we're reading, your life is in God's hands. My life is in God's hands. Sometimes I think that I am the captain of my own soul. Sometimes I think that I am in control of my own life. No, that's not what the Bible says. God's in control of my life. God's in control of your life. It's all up to him. Look at what it says in the book of Job, chapter 12, verse 10. For the life of every living thing is in his hands, and the breath of every human being. The reason why we're all here this morning, y'all, listen. The reason why we're all here this morning is because our lives are in God's hands, and God said, okay, wake up, get dressed, and go to church. I'm good with that. The only reason why we're here. Our lives, our breath, our everything is in God's hands. David wrote, my life is in your hands. You know, Psalm 139 says that God made each one of us, and each day of our lives was written in God. God knows everything. It was written in God's book before one of them came to be. So God can see the future as if it was today. And so he knew what was going to happen all the way from beginning to end of my life and your life. And so everything's been written in a book. God knows. It's all in his hands. So, important. You want to give your heart to Jesus Christ to be ready for when death comes. You want to give your heart to Jesus Christ to be ready for when death comes. But not only that, you want to give your heart to Jesus because having Jesus inside of you helps you live. You know, I read in the scriptures that God gives his people the edge. You follow Jesus, he gives you an edge over others. You follow Jesus, he gives you wisdom that you didn't have before. He gives you discernment about certain things and issues. When you follow Jesus, he gives you the strength. There's some people who don't feel like they don't need Jesus, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 5. The Apostle Paul said, you should know this, Timothy, his young protege. Yeah, the pastor of the Church of Ephesus. He says to Timothy, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Listen, we're getting close to the last days, by the way. We're close to the last days. It'll be very difficult. Verse 2, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Verse 5, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. They're doing the right things, but they're lacking the power of God. So, 2025, the one thing you want to do is you got to remember that God, your life is in God's hands. You want to give your life to Christ. Number two, make good use of the time you have. 2025, make good use of the time you have. Because we don't know what time we have. Relish being with your loved ones. Relish doing the things you love to do. Enjoy every day. I know routine gets in the middle, right? It's like, oh, here comes another day, you know. I remember Irma Bombeck saying, oh, people say, even on Mondays, good morning, Lord. And she said, but I'm like, good Lord, it's Monday. This is how it is, you know. So let's relish every day. We're live. We're looking forward. Do what's ahead. Make good use of your time, right? Be wise in how you live. So we pray with the little information we have. You know, this is the age of data, and you and I have certain data, and based on what we know, we pray, right? But the information we have is limited because we don't know what's going to happen in an hour from now. We know what's happening now. So we pray, not knowing what's coming. So for your notes, write this down. Trust God with everything. Trust God with everything. And we read there that the prophet told the king's servants, hey, make an ointment of figs and put it on his boil. Maybe he had an ulcer. I call it a carbuncle. Maybe he had a big old carbuncle coming out of somewhere. And the prophet says, hey, listen, make a paste of figs. Paste it in there. God used it. God used it. Which, by the way, in a pastoral parenthesis, makes me think, listen, God has put doctors in our lives for a reason. Trust them. Because God will use doctors to help you. Some people are like, I don't need a doctor. I just need Jesus. No, you need Jesus, but God put doctors along the way as well. So, Hezekiah prayed to God that he wouldn't die. And God gave him 15 more years. Wow. It's awesome. Let me say this. Because we're talking about live 2025 the best way you know how. So God gave Hezekiah 15 more years. In those 15 years, King Hezekiah, good King Hezekiah, ruined Judah and all of Israel. Do you hear me? Great, faithful, awesome King Hezekiah. God gave him 15 more years, and in those 15 years, he ruined Israel. This is what the Bible says, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 25. But Hezekiah was too proud to show gratitude for what the Lord had done for him. God healed him, and the man became proud. What? And Judah and Jerusalem suffered for it. You're going to have to read this rest of the story, y'all. You know, we don't have time for that. But Hezekiah was so proud of everything God had given him, and everything he had, all the power, all the money, all the gold, that he made a connection with the Babylonians, which were God's enemies. And in time, through a series of events, Babylon came for Jerusalem and all of Israel and conquered them and took most of the people exiled back to Babylon for about 70 years. And the reason why that happened is because Hezekiah was given 15 more years of life, and he was proud. And then one more thing. Just after Hezekiah started living his 15 more years, him and his wife had a baby. Baby's name was Manasseh. Manasseh ruled after King Hezekiah. You know what the Bible says about Manasseh? He was evil. And he did exactly the opposite of what his daddy had done. He even desecrated the temple of the Almighty God. And so Hezekiah has this baby. Hezekiah loves God. He is a proud man, but he loves God. But somehow, young Manasseh made the wrong choices. Have you ever known people who raise the child the best way they know how, and then the kids make a decision that just absolutely ruins their lives? You do your best, y'all. You know what I'm saying? We do our best.
But kids make their own choices. And I wonder, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong in this, but I wonder if it would have been better for Hezekiah not to have 15 more years of life. I don't know. I'm going to leave you with two thoughts. We're ready to close this out. Two more thoughts. One about living, one about dying. The first comes from the title of a book of 1944, Dale Carnegie's book, 1944. He wrote a book called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. Isn't that a good book? Isn't that a good title? How to Stop Worrying, Start Living. Now, I'm not giving you this message today. I'm following the message because we've been following the life of Hezekiah. But I'm not preaching this message for you to come out of there thinking, I wonder when I'm going to die. Not the point. You want to start living, stop worrying. What did Jesus say? Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough problems of its own. Jesus was so wise. So Dale Carnegie writes a book called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And the book talks about having a positive, seizing your day, having a positive attitude every day. And it's about making the best of any situation and accepting what comes your way in a tough way, accepting it without dwelling on it and just living, you know. And the thought came to my mind, you know, with Jesus, anything is possible. Only one cat said amen here. I'm just going to make that statement again because we're coming into 2025 and we don't know what's coming, but I want to tell you what, with Jesus, everything is possible. Thank you. So let's stop worrying. Let's stop being worried about what's going to happen and start living out loud for God. Number next. Something, an anthropologist by the name of Ashley Montagu said. Ashley Montagu. She was a British-American anthropologist, now dead. That's what she said. When she was young, she said, I want to die young at a ripe old age. That's a double take one. That's a double take. I'm like, what? She said, I want to die young at a ripe old age. So, Miss Montagu lived to the ripe old age of 92 years old. Then he died. She died. But that thought continues in my mind. I want to die young at a ripe old age. In the world, was she thinking? And I think she was thinking, even if I die young, I want to live the most, make the most of every day, so that even if I die young, I feel like I've lived all of my life to a ripe old age. I think that's what she probably meant. Which took my mind to what Jesus said one time. Jesus said, let the children come to me and those who are like little children, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know how little children are? Children have a childlike faith. And that's what God wants from you and me, that we have a childlike faith. We may not understand everything that's going on, but we have the faith that God understands, that God is sovereign, that God's in control. We trust him with a childlike faith. And that really just helps us deal with everything we deal with and handle it with peace. And you know what, kids? They are full of wonder. And I think God wants us like a children. God wants us to go back to being filled with wonder about the life God's given us. I call him my little grandson Dex. He loves bugs. It doesn't matter where he is. If he sees an ant, forget it. I don't care where he's at. y los bugs. So the other day, him and his Mimi, my wife, are hanging around in the backyard, and he finds a bug. He found a roach in the sand, because he was digging in the sand. So he starts calling me, Papa! Papa! I was in my office at home. So I come out. This bug! There's a roach crawling on his arm. I'm like, ah! Kill it! That's what I said. Of course, Mimi's like, no, 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 we don't kill bugs. And he was like, no, I don't want to kill him. Yeah. We're like, wash him. When he's done with that, but wash him. He's full of wonder. Sees a leaf in the middle of a doggone Disney World. And that's all he cares about. The wonder of a leaf. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we've lost our sense of wonder about God. And it's about time we return to a wonder about our Creator, who is absolutely mind-blowing. That's the way children are. And children are full of humility and they're full of love, man. And I think that's how we're going to be able to enjoy every day of 2025. Being childlike for Jesus. And having a faith that gets us ready for heaven. Amen? That's what God wanted me to say. Let's pray together. You, God Almighty, are holy. Thank you for being so gracious, so loving, that you sent your son Jesus to show us there's life after death. We thank you for the joy of knowing Christ. You may be watching me on Facebook right now. Head is bowed. Your eyes closed. Or maybe you're watching me and you're still looking. Listen. If you've never asked Jesus in your heart, you want to do that this morning or whenever you're watching this. Get ready for 2025 by, first of all and most of all, putting your life in the hands of the Savior. You want to pray and ask Jesus Christ something like this. If you've never done this before, I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus something like this. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I mess up. I don't even know how many times. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I believe you died for me and you rose from the grave. And this, right now, I ask you to come inside my heart, Lord Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. And I commit my life to you. Help me live for you. If you just prayed that prayer, I want to tell you, God has entered your life and he will never, ever leave you. Now, those of us who are sitting here and I'm standing, if you just ask Jesus Christ to save your soul for the very first time, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or stand up. I just want to pray for you. So if you say, man, I just prayed that prayer. I just asked Jesus in my heart. Will you raise your hand and put it back down? I just want to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. And then on your way out, I'm going to give you a Bible for you to have. Anyone here? You say, man, I just asked Jesus in my heart. Just raise your hand and put it back down. I just want to pray for you. Anybody here? Anyone here? Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for this amazing time at church. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor belongs to you. Help us live 2025. Enjoy every squeeze, every piece of good juice out of it. live the best we know how. And also help us be ready to meet you one day. Thank you for this good people, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much.